How to negotiate a decent rate as a freelance translator, coming up. Hello and welcome back to the Freelanceverse. Thanks for coming back to the channel once again. Hope you're all doing well. This week I thought I would talk about rate negotiations. Negotiating rate is a pivotal topic when you're a freelance translator and will come up eventually. And it might be slightly uncomfortable from time to time. It's one of the skills that we are just kind of expected to know. Like, no one is born a good negotiator, right? And you probably haven't studied that at university. So you're just kind of thrown into your first negotiation in the real world. And it's bound to fail, I can tell you that, don't worry. And I mean, it's daunting at the beginning to even think of this topic. So there are essentially two types of negotiations that you will encounter as a freelance translator. Number one is negotiations with existing clients. And number two, negotiations with potentially new clients. Both of them are very different, so we're going to explore the different aspects of it, how you can become better, excel in either one of them. But first, as always, quick disclaimer, I am far from a negotiation and a marketing expert, right? All I'm doing on this channel is always just sharing my experience, my learnings over the years, sharing them with you, hoping that you can take away something from it that could help you in your path to success. So as I said, it can be a really daunting task and you don't need to be a master negotiator. Don't worry about that. The first attempts will probably go wrong. It's really hard, especially in person or on the phone. It's super hard, and especially in the beginning when you're not used to it, it's very easy to tell insecurities and to tell that someone is not really comfortable in that role when you're in person or on the phone. Now, luckily for most of us, we don't meet our clients in person. Almost exclusively, all my negotiations are done by email. This has both benefits and disadvantages. Obvious benefits are that you have time to think about your responses. You can really rephrase your sentences to really say what you exactly want to say. You have time to reflect. You have time to do calculations in your head when you're doing it via email. And the obvious drawbacks is that you don't have the human touch, the one-on-one interaction. You would be surprised how much it matters, like the body gestures, how you present yourself, the feeling, the empathy, feeling the human touch between two individuals when you do negotiations. So I'm not by far not saying that you shouldn't do it in person. If you are that type of person, you should definitely go for that. So let's first look at the easier type of negotiation, in my opinion, which is negotiating with existing clients. This can go one of two ways, right? The more positive negotiation would be that you go to them and you ask them or you tell them that you want to raise your rates. On the flip side, the more negative negotiation can be if an existing client comes to you and says that they want to or need to diminish your rate. You always have to keep in mind that your number one asset when negotiating with existing clients is value. Your value, but also the value that you can bring to the company. So a lot of freelance translators or freelancers in general would take the concept of value, but then look at it from their perspective. But you would rather look at it from the client, right? What does the client value? How can you provide value to them? With a potential client that you've never worked with before, they have no idea of your value, right? So it's with an existing client, however, they have worked with you maybe 2-3 years, they know exactly the value that you can provide. So that's a huge leverage point there that you really need to hone in. I try to raise my rates every 2 years with my clients. Sometimes it goes better, sometimes worse. It's really a trial and error situation. Like you don't have a magic formula that will work, but you can kind of adapt it to your own style and try to use it over and over again and kind of make it better every year. What I found to be most useful in this case is something I like to call alignment strategy, or just alignment. What I then do is I go to a client and I tell them, look, we have been working together fantastically for the last 2-3 years. In the meantime, my prices, my standard prices have naturally gone up, right? But I did my best to keep my prices steady with you for the last 3 years. But now it's at the point where we have to start discussing how we can, you know, bring the rates that I kept stable for you closer to my actual rates. People are usually quite receptive to that, because not only are you telling them that you need to raise your rates, but you're also simultaneously telling them that in the past years, you did your best to keep your price stable, right? So you show some transparency, you show some vulnerability in a way. And that's always a good strategy, at least for me, that has worked. Keep in mind that you will not succeed to raise your rates like at huge increments of like 30-40%, right? That will probably not work. You have to do that regularly and in smaller, more manageable chunks, right? That's why I say every 2 years makes sense. Maybe you can, I don't know, raise it by 5%. If you can reach 10%, that's amazing. And you can always mention inflation as well, because that's something that's in their world, right? If you, especially if you talk to a direct client, they are dealing with inflation every day. Or every year, they also have to pay their employees more based on that, on indexation. So I bring that up from time to time, and that's a term that businesses are very conscious of, and it's always a good way to use in your negotiation strategies as well. You definitely want to hone back into the value, because value is what you can justify your higher prices with. After having worked for years with this client, you know the terminology, you know their clients, you know their stakeholders, you know the target audience, you know their products. Hopefully you built a nice TM for this client that you can, you know, leverage with every job, so their volumes get lower and lower, so they have to pay you less per job. So if you have done a good job in that and you can really show the value that you bring to the table, it's much easier to justify your raising the rates. Confidence is key here, right? You have to be sure that you are the best person for the job, especially if you do an in-person negotiation. Body posture and how you treat, like how you hold yourself, how you hold a conversation is super important. But not only in person, also when you're writing emails, you would be surprised just by sitting upright or even by standing when you're doing outreach, just smiling a bit, being loose, you know, maybe listening to music. It just flows much better. Your sentences sound better. You seem more approachable. I don't know. I'm just not a fan of stiff business emails. Anyways, like stiff, fake business situations, I'm not a fan of at all. So I always try to keep it more transparent, more empathic. Try to add some humorous things as well into there when I can. Not to make it sound cringy or anything, but you have to find kind of your business persona and then go with that. Now, the downside, it can happen that a client comes to you and says, hey, we need to diminish your rates. We need to lower your rates. Now, first of all, you have to understand that this is their job, right? This is business. They always have to do cost optimization, cost reduction. So it's not necessarily a bad sign per se, but it can be. Like, if a client comes to you 1 year and says, we need to diminish your rates, it's very unlikely that next year you can go to them and say, hey, I want to raise my rates, right? So in general, it's already a bad sign. So if that happened to me, it actually happened once, I think in 2022 it was, that the company came to me. What you have to do is then ask yourself, how important is this client? Can I afford to lose them? Or am I very, very dependent on them to pay my bills, right? That all comes into play. If you are dependent on them, probably you just have to, I mean, you can try to negotiate a little bit, but probably you have to cower and say, okay, then diminish my rates, at least I can still pay my bills. For me, when this client reached out to me, I knew that I could afford to lose them, right? I still had my other clients, I was doing well. So I kind of decided to take an aggressive approach to that. Not aggressive, I mean, that's the first word that comes to mind, just more like an offensive approach to go in the offense rather than the defense. And I put myself in the driver's seat and I responded to their message saying, oh, you know what? I was actually going to message you that I need to raise my rate this year with you. I said, look, we have worked together for 2 years. I've done this and this. I've done this very visible project. You know the value that I bring. It would be a shame if we lost this great collaboration just because of a rate dispute, etc. As I said, it was 2022, so the cost of living was skyrocketing, right? So I also argued at that. I said, okay, this is not sustainable for me anymore. I need to raise my rates. Even keeping my rates is not really sustainable, but lowering them is just simply not feasible. This was my response, and I thought I was quite sure that I would lose them, and that was fine. I expected that. It was also kind of an experiment to see how this would go, how people would react to that. And funny enough, I didn't lose the client. I also didn't get the raise, but I also didn't have to lower my rates. It just stayed the same. And I'm still, well, not so much anymore, but I'm still in their register. I still work with them from time to time, still for the same price. So now it would definitely be the time to raise my rates. If they come to me and they want to work with me more again, then I would say, okay, yes, we can, but I need you to pay more. And that would probably not work, and it would slowly phase out. But back in the day, in 2022, this was important for me because this client stayed with me. I had regular income from them. And for me, this counted as a success, right? I could have just accepted a lower rate. Instead, I went into the offense, thinking I would lose them, but I could keep my rate stable. Okay, let's move to negotiating the rate with a potential client. That's completely different, right? This can either be like a long-term collaboration, so the client asks you to give you the rates per word or per hour, or for it can be for a one-off project where they ask for a lump sum. What I don't mean here is when you go on an agency's website and you fill in the form, for example, and you just type in your rates, or if you go on a gig website and you type in your rates, that's not negotiation, right? Because you immediately give all your power and all your leverage up, because you don't have a counterpart to talk to. You're just giving in your rates. You're probably going lower than you actually want to because you want to compete with everyone else on the platform. So that's not a form of negotiation. You will also have to do that when you're starting out. That's just part of the game, I guess. But just keep in mind that that's not the negotiation I'm thinking of. There are two major things that I keep in mind when I'm negotiating with potential clients, whether it being a nice boutique agency or a direct client. That is, first of all, knowing your worth, and second, using anchoring. Let's look at these two things that I keep in mind. What I mean by knowing your worth is key is, like, in other words, simply don't undercharge, right? That's easy. That's more easily said than done. But you definitely have to research the rates that people charge, have to talk to colleagues, assess your experience, calculate your rates as well based on this video that I made once. Figure out what's your unique selling point, what you can do, what other people can't, what you can deliver, what other people can't. Because you always have to have like 2 to 3 aces up your sleeves when you're negotiating that you can just kind of, you know, just push out whenever it's needed. Like you can say, oh, I'm an expert in this. Oh, I worked on a project with this and stuff. So you really have to know which projects you're allowed to talk about in terms of NDAs and stuff. If you want to deliver social proof, you know, previous clients, show some portfolios or something. These you have to have ready before you go into negotiation. You need to know exactly what are your top 3 things that you can bring on the table that just is bam, this is me, this is my unique selling point. The value that you bring can depend on many things, right? It's not only the price alone. If we were to compete only on price, then I would not have any jobs, right? It's not only that. It's the prices. You have to kind of position yourself so the price is a secondary thought. The price is just something that you have to pay if you want this value for it. And that's not easy because most people would probably market themselves as the price as the number one point. You know, I'm super cheap, come to me. That's a rat race. You don't want to be there. The price should be secondary and your value should be primary. Your value can depend on the client situation. It can depend on the nature of the project. Maybe it's super urgent and you are available. Maybe their main translator is not there and you can swoop in. You know, these are great opportunities. Maybe you're an expert in a specific field or in a locale, in a region. Maybe your text is extremely client-facing and needs transcreation and you're the top transcreator in your field, so you're the man or the woman. Yeah, there are many potential values that you can assess and play out in your favor to benefit the client. Next up, let's look at anchoring. I mentioned it before. It's a very popular negotiation strategy that you probably no, but not consciously ever thought of, maybe. It's basically to have an anchor that is higher than what you actually want, right? So if you want for a one-off project or for a book translation, maybe you want $1,000, you would start your negotiation by roughly 30%, 40% more than you actually want. So maybe you would offer $1,300, $1,400 to the client and then see what happens. See if the client comes back. It has happened to me many times that the client would just accept my offer, even with an anchoring strategy. And that's always a bit like, in a way, yes, okay, I'm getting more than I wanted, but also, oh, I could have gone quite a lot higher, right? So it's always a bit of a bittersweet moment when your client immediately accepts your anchoring rate. But anyways, it's nice, like you're learning from it as well, right? But most likely they come back and they say, oh, that's too much for us. I have a budget for $1,100. And then you can decide if you want to go for it or not. Maybe they come back and say, oh, we actually have other offers from other translators for 900, for 1000, and you're charging 1300. What's the difference? Why is it so much more? And there again, you can showcase your value. You can show what you bring to the table, what other people don't, what differentiates you. And that's where you have the 2, 3, 4 points in up your sleeve, as I mentioned before. And then you can still say, but you know, to get this corporation going, I'm willing to come down 20% and charge 1100. You're still above your target. You gave the client basically a 20% discount, even though it was never actually on the table. So everyone is happy. So, and always focus on the fact that what you offer is premium, right? You have to be able to show social proof, to show testimonials as well. Because ask yourself this, like, let's say you're looking at hotels, right? You see an amazing beachfront hotel somewhere in Vietnam, let's say, amazing, 4.9 rating, food amazing, staff amazing, $120 a night. Then you see another hotel that's not at the beach, one row of houses behind, maybe 4.2 rating, not so good food, a little bit dirty, staff not very attentive, but $90, right? So $30 less. Immediately in your head, you will start to make a comparison. You will start to compare the benefits versus the upcharge, right? So $30 more, yes, it's more expensive, but I do get so much more value. I have beachfront, I have amazing food, I have good attentive staff. Overall, I will have a much better experience. So it makes sense to pay $30 more, right? So the price becomes secondary, the benefit is the primary. So you have to figure out what is the beachfront, what is the good attentive stuff, what's the good food in your language project. And that's how you can outbid other people by still charging a lot. A quick side note, when you're negotiating rates, never forget to negotiate payment terms as well. I've seen some large LSPs who want to pay you in like 60 days, 75 days, something insane. That for me, that's just unacceptable. I'm not going to be paid in July, August for something I'm doing now, right? I need some stability as a freelancer. So definitely make sure that you are in the driver's seat. You can also, I mean, in the end, they make probably make the decision, but at least negotiate, right? If they say 60, just say, oh, I can't do 60. Can we do 30? And maybe you can arrange on 45. Now that's still better than 60. For me, I always want to do 30, preferably 15, but no way more than 30. Always clearly define the scope of your price. I learned that the hard way. Definitely make sure you write in your offer, in your offer email, what is actually included in your price. I once did, early on, I did negotiation by email, and we settled on a rate of 14 cents, I think it was, 14 or 15 cents per word for German translation. And I was over the moon. I was like, this is amazing price. This was by far the highest I could ever charge back then. And I was really happy. I was proud of my negotiating. This was like, okay, this is cool. I'm actually establishing myself as an expert. I did the translation. It was very good, I think. I even went the extra mile because I felt like I have more time because I'm paid better. So I left some comments, you know, justifying my decisions and stuff for the proofreader. Eventually, I deliver by the deadline. I tell the client, hey, this was super cool, amazing project. Thanks again for considering me. I left some comments for the proofreader, so this will facilitate his or her work. And the client gets back to me and says, what do you mean, proofreader? Like, obviously, we pay you this fee. This should be proofread by a third party on your side. You deliver a package to us. This should be a finished translation, polished. And I have never even thought about that I have to also organize a proofreader. If you work with direct clients, that can very often be the case. And it just never occurred to me. Now it makes sense, of course, but back then it just didn't occur to me. So in the end, the price was not that good, right? I could probably take like 8 cents for me, and I had to organize quickly an express proofreading and give them 6 cents from it. So in the end, yeah, it was not, I don't want to work for 8 cents. Even back then, that was not a good rate, but a very valuable lesson. I was definitely put back in the rear seat immediately by this agency, and I was not in the driver's seat anymore. I felt embarrassed. I felt like not an expert, like I have no idea what I'm doing, right? So definitely set clear boundaries of what is included in your price to avoid awkward moments like this. There you go. I hope this gives you a better understanding of the art of rate negotiation. I mentioned in the middle of the video, figure out your business persona and then go with that. I think it reflects a lot on the other people as well, how you behave yourself in a negotiation. Like me personally, I'm not a fan of like the stuck up formal business negotiating. So I'm also very honest with my clients. I don't try to fake anything, and I try to make them smile once in a while, you know, have good conversation. I think this mutual respect then creates a nicer experience overall. Good business connection on a human level will make it much easier to raise your rates in the future. So don't be afraid to do it. It's just part of our business. All you can do is try your best, do your best at every instance, and always get a little bit better. And don't forget to enjoy the process. Hope you liked the video. I see you next Monday with the next one. Bye bye.